Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
How did you survive your manic Monday? Oof, I limped through mine. That's literal, not figurative. I actually limped through mine. The pain is more intense tonight than it was 24 hours ago. But I'm still laughing. Laughing at the fact that Monday, Penny had no trouble scooting all over the neighborhood. Of course, Sunday morning when I needed her to scoot, she could not be bothered to scoot. But I had to run after her on our Monday morning walk. That's how much scooting she was doing, that dog. I'm telling you what, that dog's been running my life for 11 and a half years. Oh, goodness. I do love her. We'll see. We'll see how much more scooting she can do. But considering that she doesn't have a ton of energy every day, this was a good morning for her. Apparently Sunday morning, not so much. I got so many of your comments, both on Twitter and Facebook, about my pre-half marathon adventure and the fact that I barely made it to the start line. Now I'm wondering, why do I sign up for these things? Because every part of my body hurts. From about the waist down, the core to the hip flexors and the quads and the thighs. Actually, my calves don't hurt. Those are okay. But the hamstrings sore. Ooh, every step requires some effort. It's a good sore, though, right? It's a good sore. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, thank you. So many of you sent messages on Monday in response to the photo and the marathon story. And it was good to read your support. And also, I don't mind if you laugh at me. The point is that we are laughing, right? So if it requires a story in which I take on the role of fool, well, that is just fine with me. It really is. I exist for your amusement. One other things, I hope. Encouragement and connection, information, intel every now and then, little sports chatter, though, honestly, you all don't listen for what I have to say about sports. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Two NBA games and now two teams. Very unlikely. How about this? Two teams from the play-in tournament on the brink of moving forward into the conference finals. The Lakers and the Heat. Each one win away. They have their opportunities coming up on Wednesday. One win away from reaching the conference finals in the NBA's Final Four. I had said this about the West semifinal series between Warriors and Lakers even after game one. For either of these teams to get to the West Finals is improbable. For the Lakers, it's highly unlikely, though if you look at what they've done since the trade deadline, not to mention both LeBron and Anthony Davis are healthy, and how critical is that? It's very important. But to beat the Warriors at their own game, and when I say that, I mean the ability to go on these runs and to sustain them and to have an unexpected source provide a ton of offense. We've seen that with the Warriors in this last decade. There are times when, well, even going back to last year, Gary Payton Jr., Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, Andre Iguodala in his earlier days would come up with huge games every now and then. For the Warriors to twice cough up double-figure leads and to have as many opportunities as they have, three-pointers that didn't go from Klay Thompson, from Steph Curry, even miss layups. As much as the Lakers deserve credit for the way they play defense, the turnovers are almost always the culprit for the Warriors. Once again, double-figure points off turnovers, though not as bad as it was in game number three, to be fair. And the Lakers turn the ball over a ton, too. The Warriors get fast and loose with the ball, and at least in this game, and I would say part of the stretch in game three, too, though, was earlier in game three. It's astounding how cold they can go from the field. All of them, all at once. Yes, Steph Curry had a triple-double in this game, but he took a heck of a lot of shots to get there. 30 shots for 31 points. That's not a great ratio. 3 of 14 from beyond the arc. Klay Thompson, 3 of 9 from deep. Ultimately, one area where the Lakers had the advantage, they were more aggressive, and that certainly does stand to reason when you've got guys like Anthony Davis, LeBron James, even Austin Reeves, trying to get to the hoop. Did you know the Warriors, they missed 3 free throws tonight, which is unlikely for them most of the time. They're a really solid free throw team, though Kevon Looney missed 2 of them. The Lakers, 20 of 20 from the charity stripe. A perfect 20 of 20. And so they outscored the Warriors at the free throw line by 11. Again, it helps that they are the aggressors, that they were attacking. And then there's the story of Lonnie Walker. Landry Shamet on Sunday night, Lonnie Walker on Monday night. It's what I love about the playoff stage. The stories, the opportunities, the clutch performances, and the unexpected. We should always expect the unexpected this time of the year. So we're going to get to Warriors and Lakers and the reaction. Still waiting on some of it to come in. Though Steve Kerr talking about the late stages of this game, like the final play for the Warriors and actually wanting to get a timeout when Steph somehow ended up with the ball in his hands very briefly after the jump ball. That was a surprise to be sure, except like multiple other moments down the stretch, the Warriors just couldn't capitalize on their opportunities. Warriors led by 12 late in the third quarter. And when the Lakers had their kick and had their burst, Golden State had no answer. So that's the Lakers as the 7th seed in the West, 1 win away from reaching the Western Conference Finals. Remember, they were the champions in 2020, but this team is decidedly different. Yes, AD and LeBron, but a lot of other pieces around them, pretty much everyone around them has changed. And not to mention the coach and his staff. As for the Heat and the Knicks, it's a knockdown drag out, and the Heat are just better at this type of game. This is what they do well. They want it to be ugly. They want everything to be a struggle. the Heat without playing mind games are trying to wear you down, chip away, not just at your confidence, but make every shot contested and tough. All of them. They don't want you to have anything easy. And they pursue rebounds like nobody's business. They don't necessarily have the biggest guys. What they've got is tenacity. They got a lot of experience in that locker room too, believe it or not. Remember, this is a team that lost to the Celtics in game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Was it? Yes, game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago. They've got guys who have been on the playoff stage. And then they have a Kevin Love that's relatively new to their lineup who's brings championship experience. It's similar to what I've seen from the Florida Panthers in that the Heat barely made it into the playoffs. They also needed the play-in tournament to survive. And that element of desperation has served them well. It fits their personalities too. They're relying more and more on a Kyle Lowry, who may not be as fast as he once was, but he's crafty and he's smart and he's steady. It is actually, I don't want to say comical, because that would be too strong of a word, but it is, I think, fascinating that the guys they have in their starting lineup and then what they bring off the bench, not flashy, not superstars, not anymore. Kyle Lowry was one of the top guards in the game going back a few years ago, but not anymore. Caleb Martin, he's good for minutes and tonight good for double-figure points and rebounds, 5 rebounds coming off the bench. But it's Kevin Love, right? It's Max Strus. It's Gabe Vincent. We're not talking about superstars. I think Bam Adebayo is underappreciated, similar to his coach, Eric Spoelstra. And obviously, Jimmy Butler is unique in the entire NBA. He's got every skill, every tool in the toolbox, if you will. And mostly what he does is set a tone of refusing to lose. He hates to lose. It affects his mood. He can't stand it. Another playoff game for him with at least 25 points and 10 rebounds. I'm sorry, 10 assists. He had the assists. Bam Adebayo had the double-double with the rebounds. He's given it everything he's got. Motivated by unseen demons and forces that drive him. So we're going to get to these two teams now on the cusp. And also, Julius Randle is an enigma. I don't even know what to make of him. I just know that the Heat have flipped the script. Yes, they've always been a defensive team who try to drag their opponent down to their level, if you will, offensively. But the way they've rebounded in this series, that's taking a page out of what the Knicks want to do well is the defense and the rebounding. And I think it's the experience that gives them the edge. The experience and right now Jimmy Butler. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. One hockey game tonight. Within a few minutes, it looked one way. A few minutes after that, it looked completely different. An about face. It can happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'll have a chance to see Devils and Hurricanes in person on Tuesday night. Looking forward to that. I do love the intensity of being in the building for a Stanley Cup playoff game. Little football we're going to mix in tonight. Lamar Jackson finally answers the question of why ask for a trade from the Baltimore Ravens if you never wanted to go anywhere. Robert Saleh still crowing about Aaron Rodgers because, you know, who isn't? And Bryce Young actually sitting down with a former Panthers quarterback who also has pretty impressive appearance on his resume. Won Super Bowl. So Bryce Young with a Heisman, a national championship. Well, Jake Delhomme, he was an undrafted quarterback who helped to spark the Panthers to their first Super Bowl in franchise history. Bryce Young would like to spark them to another appearance. Would be their third, right? I think it would be their third. And so we'll hear from Bryce Young. I think it's interesting that those two guys could sit down together and have a conversation. So yeah, looking forward to tonight's show. We're also going to welcome a new guest from Miami. Wes Goldberg covers the Heat and the NBA, so he'll hop on with us about 45 minutes from now. I was watching the late game and getting some work done, so it fits our schedule perfectly. And I am a big fat fibber. I told you that we would reveal the latest Hall of Fame inductee on our last show, and I didn't do it. I forgot because it was a Sunday night into a Monday morning and there's so much happening all the time. And so I didn't get to it, and that's my faux pas. I was just telling my class of students at Syracuse what a no-no it is. In our very last class, one of the topics was most common mistakes, most common faux pas, what not to do as a radio host. And one of them was don't tease a particular topic or a subject and then not pay it off. But that is my biggest faux pas when it comes to radio. How often I do that? Because my brain, it gets full of so much stuff and I either didn't write it down or I think I'll remember. I used to tell my producers at my previous network, it must be on the screen because I will not remember. And somehow that still happens. Now, 25 years in, I just get caught up in what I'm sharing and talking about, and yeah, I forget to circle back. So that is my fault, and I will fix it on this edition of the show. Again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and on our Facebook page, we are just getting warmed up. Me, 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 me. Did you survive your Monday? That's what I need to know. Wait until you hear what I did for the very first time in my life on Monday. I was actually really nervous about it. And on that tease, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
LeBron dribbling right. Throws the ball to Anthony Davis and they steal it. Good hands by Moses Moody. Here's Draymond Green out of the backcourt. Draymond went all the way to the rim. Throws it backwards. Stolen by Lonnie Walker. He got loose. Lays it up and in. Lonnie Walker dribbling. Walker to Anthony Davis. Now backwards to LeBron. 2 minutes to go in the game. Walker driving. Two-pointer by Lonnie. Good again. Lonnie Walker has taken over for the Lakers. He's got 13 points all in the fourth quarter.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Lonnie Walker or Landry Shamet, I guess you can take your pick. But those are two pretty impressive storylines from the last two nights in the NBA postseason. So we know Landry was a huge piece of bailing out, or not bailing out, that'd be the wrong way to say it. A huge piece of pulling out a victory for the Suns over the Nuggets on Sunday night. Well, here's Lonnie Walker, who didn't even play in the opener of this series between the Warriors and the Lakers, and he's the guy with the hot hand. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. John Ireland with the call on the Lakers radio network, and a lot of people talking about Lonnie Walker from the Warriors locker room to the Lakers locker room, but the game was still hanging in the balance in the late stages. Warriors had plenty of looks.
Curry gets James, ball to Thompson. Thompson forced up a three, no good, not a good shot. Rebound Schroeder, and Steve Kerr can't believe it.
Yeah, that was quick.
Curry gets Davis as his defender, 13 to shoot. 35 seconds to go, Curry lost the ball, spins away, gets it back. Dribbles on Davis, takes him, stops, fadeaway two is seven. Rattle didn't go, ball tipped. Draymond's got it. Out to Curry. Curry with 20 seconds to go. Guarded by Davis, takes a deep three. It's up and front rim, no good. Rebound goes to Walker. Warriors have to foul. They foul Walker with 15 seconds left. Not sure if that was exactly the shot Steve Kerr wanted. Curry throwing it in. Thompson will screen cross for Draymond. Draymond gets the ball, takes a handoff, dribbles hard on Schroeder, goes and throws it away. He threw it right to Davis, and Davis will be fouled with, no, it's a jump ball with 5 seconds to go.
It was a jump ball. It was a weird jump ball. It didn't feel like the Lakers' lead or the pending victory was in jeopardy at that point. It didn't feel like that at all, except that the jump ball somehow ended up in the hands of Steph Curry. And Curry tried to shovel it to a teammate, and it ends up being a turnover. So it really was indicative of what the Warriors had done in that fourth quarter. The shots that they missed, and they did have plenty of looks. It was Klay Thompson. It was Steph Curry, who finished with a triple-double, but had to work real hard for all his points. And for as hot as the Warriors can get, they can also be ice cold. And that, to me, has stood out. They always have to survive turnovers. But that, to me, has stood out about what's come after they build these double-figure leads in games 3 and 4. But Lonnie Walker deserves a ton of attention. He deserves a lot of the credit for the fact that he was taking the ball from his teammates and without hesitation was throwing it up there, without hesitation was shooting his shot. Isn't that the vernacular for the kids these days? You got to shoot your shot. Well, Lonnie Walker was doing exactly that, and he was confident while he was doing it.
Honestly, you know, I've been shooting a lot of shots my entire life, so, you know, I got a lot of confidence in myself. I know my value. You know, I know what I'm capable of doing, and, you know, by the grace of God and a lot of hard work and sacrifices and time, you know, in the gym, the fruition kind of came today. I think my confidence was for sure at an all-time high. You know, when you have your coaches instilling in you to give him the ball, and LeBron being able to give me the ball, and multiple people, you know, allowing me to just play my game has given me the utmost confidence to just do what I have to do. So it's probably a difficult shot for others, but it really isn't a difficult shot for me.
Lonnie Walker came in and, you know, made a huge impact, I think. I don't know if he scored all those points in the fourth. It felt like it. You know, that's a lot of times that's what the playoffs are about, you know, close game and somebody coming into the game who you don't expect to make an impact. And, you know, that player makes a bunch of shots, makes some big plays.
6 for 9 in the fourth quarter. And remember, as I say, he did not play the opener of the series. 15 points for Lonnie Walker. Tim Roy with the calls on Warriors radio and the frustration certainly there for Golden State. The Warriors now face a 3-1 deficit, not something that they have never faced before. They actually have rallied from being down 3-1 in a playoff series going back to the days against Oklahoma City. And they were able to pull themselves out of a hole and win that series. But that was a different Warriors team, right? That was a Warriors team that, well, it was a different Warriors team for a bunch of reasons. It was a younger team, a little more energy. Not that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson can't still shoot the lights out. They can. They've got an Andrew Wiggins now. They're getting contributions from, say, Gary Payton, certainly Draymond Green with the defense, though the offense is, well, it's hit or miss with Draymond. One thing that's really lacking, though, is Jordan Poole and his shot. And I saw a report from Kareth Burke on NBC Sports in the Bay Area in which she was talking about Jordan in the postgame locker room and how frustrated he is, but that he didn't want to talk about himself. He wanted to talk about how they've got to win one game. They've got to continue to approach this with this one game mentality, win and stay alive. But that piece is missing for the Warriors too. Off the bench, they get 10 from Dante DiVincenzo. But otherwise, no one, and a few points from Moses Moody. He plays great defense too, but otherwise, not a whole lot of offense generated off the bench. And in the fourth quarter, the Lakers hold the Warriors to just 17 points after they had a double-figure lead late in the third. So LeBron ends up with 27 to go along with 9 rebounds and 6 assists. I love this about LeBron. He's a point guard trapped in a tight end's body. But Anthony Davis is outside of the one game, has had a real strong series and has been a headache. Because they have two big guys, two guys that, and with Davis, the length and the reach. But because they've got two big guys in terms of their size who are impactful and just bulky and loads, Draymond Green can only guard one of them. And most of the time is with Anthony Davis. And then you've got the problem of LeBron James. So there certainly is a matchup issue for the Warriors as well. And they've changed their lineup some in over the course of this postseason to try to fit the matchups. But yeah, for LeBron, right in the center of everything, which is exactly what Darvin Ham wants.
He is who he is for a reason. And, you know, tonight that was on full display.
Yes, short and sweet. As for the Warriors now, as I say, they're facing this 3-1 deficit, not the first time. They've been in essentially every situation you possibly can as a team that's dominated the West, in the except for a couple of seasons, in the last 10 years. I say they're impervious to pressure. They're not feeling the pressure, but their road woes definitely were exposed on this night. And their inability to close out the last couple games, although their lead was pretty early in game 3. So that one turned into a massive blowout when their shooting disappeared. This one, though, unable to respond when the Lakers erase that deficit. And so now they have to figure out how to go one game at a time and certainly have to draw on what they know from their past and how they've done it before.
You definitely use it as confidence that we can, you know, figure this out. Obviously, just focus on winning game 5 and take it from there. You can't fast forward to the end, but we have a lot of confidence in our ability to take the good things from tonight and, you know, protect our home court. So that's all you can do right now. Got to maintain, you know, positivity, you know, and how tough this was tonight, but long way to go.
It feels like what it is. 3-1, you go home and you take care of business and you get a win, and the momentum is right back in your favor. So that's all it is. You don't, you know, somebody has to win 4 times.
Ha! That is the case. And it's one of those duh moments. Yes, of course, a team has to win 4 times and it's not over. And the Warriors understand that better than anyone. But they've not done themselves any favors in these last 2 games. Missed opportunities. Not taking advantage of the work that they did to put themselves in the position to have the lead. But credit the Lakers. I love what the Lakers did at the free throw line tonight, 20 for 20. They were aggressive. They played the tough defense, get into the passing lanes, try to disrupt the motion and the movement of the Warriors, and being physical. Served the Lakers well. And Lonnie Walker, 24 years old, I believe. Bonus points if you can remember where Lonnie Walker played before the Lakers. Marco Belletti's here in studio.
Not a chance. No, so they came over on the Wizards deal. No idea.
The San Antonio Spurs.
Nope.
That's what I mean.
Not even a little bit.
Relative anonymity. That's why it's so great this time of the year. You get different athletes who step up after toiling away in relative anonymity. Okay, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. Glad to have you with us as we put Monday in the rearview mirror and work our way to a Tuesday. So we've got two teams that came through the play-in tournament that are one win away from the conference finals. Just talked about the Lakers. What about the Miami Heat? How are they doing it? And what does Julius Randle mean when he says they wanted it more? They probably wanted it more. Maybe they wanted it more. I really hope he was being tongue-in-cheek and being a smartass. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Top of the arc. Screen rejected. Drive. Gets it to Bam. Bam out to Martin. A shake. Now he drives. Gets it out top. Lowry to Duncan for three. That's all. And Martin chases that one down. Inbound. Lowry got to Jimmy. Put it up and in. I mean, there's just New York traffic everywhere. And Jimmy doesn't care. He has 22. Martin. Pump fake. Oh! He just rocked the soul out of this house. Elevation without hesitation, and then a prayer. Bam dribbles out, faces Mitchell. A three for Bam. Oh, Lord, offensive rebound again, this time by Lowry. How good would that have been? Bam out of pile. Knocked down that three. Somebody would have to call Miami-Dade County for a civil engineer. Check the horns. Check the roof.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jason Jackson on the Miami Heat radio network, and it wasn't a massive blowout like what we'd seen earlier in the series, but yet again, the defense of the Miami Heat and their ability to pursue the rebounds and to create an edge there where maybe they were not expected to have an edge, their tenacity, their grit. I love the grittiness of this team. That's what gives them an advantage. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll head to Miami where game four is now in the books and the Heat are one win away from returning to the Eastern Conference Finals. 9 extra rebounds. So they had a 44-35 edge on the glass and 13 offensive rebounds, including a slew of them in the fourth quarter with the game hanging in the balance.
By the time we got to the fourth quarter, it was just a total grind, and we got the necessary stops. We got a bunch of clean looks in the fourth quarter. We just couldn't knock them down, but we were getting those extra possessions, and that certainly helped. You know, was that the game plan in the fourth quarter, you know, to get 4 extra possessions? And I can't say that that was, but you just have to find different solutions knowing that there's going to be, you know, big challenges. You're just going to have to make effort plays. You're going to have to make the plays in between.
Spo's been making it a big emphasis of first to the basketball. And I feel like these last couple of games, we've been doing that.
Bam Adebayo says the Heat have heard it from Spoelstra, and they obviously listened. He had 23 points and 13 rebounds. And weirdly enough, it's the bench production of the Heat that's powering them as well, where that was also not a strength for them, not expected to be a strength for them. But Kyle Lowry continues to come off the bench and apply the craftiness, the cleverness, the experience, and the steady hand that the Heat need, even as they continue marching forward. It's not pretty. I wouldn't say it's dazzling. It's not flashy, but they just keep moving.
We got great guys who work on their craft at a high level. And, you know, with our best player, with Jimmy creating so much disarray out there and getting guys to open looks, it makes our jobs easier. Our job is to make shots for him and try to make the game even easier for him and Bam. And that's what we're trying to do. For us, you know, the shooters that we have is unbelievable.
I don't know that easy is the word I would use to describe what the Miami Heat are doing. No, they actually make it a lot harder on themselves. They don't do They don't do flashy. They don't do dazzling. Do we get a lot of plays that turn your head or that cause your jaw to drop open? Absolutely. But this is not a team that's going to beat you by globetrotter-like moves, if you will. We're not talking about handles like Steph Curry or Klay Thompson hitting threes from 6 feet behind the line. Now, we're talking about good old-fashioned, physical, in-your-face basketball, and that's part of what makes the Heat such a tough out, is that they are not only physically exhausting, and they push it to the limit physically, but they push it to the limit mentally. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Julius Randle, he ends up fouling out on an offensive rebound, which I was really surprised about. There was contact. I just don't think it was an offensive foul. But regardless, he was still scuffling a little bit. He did have 20 points and 9 rebounds. But part of the issue, of course, is the fact that they couldn't keep up with the Heat on the glass. So he was asked about the Heat and that advantage when it came to rebounds.
Maybe they wanted more. I don't know. You know, that's been who we are all year. And we got to find a way to, you know, step up and make those plays if we want to keep the season alive.
I think he was being tongue-in-cheek. I know it's going to be a headline. It certainly already went viral on social. To me, he was being a smartass. Well, maybe they just want it more. At least I hope he was being a smartass. That can't actually be his assessment of the game and the effort. Now, is there a lot of effort put into rebounding? Sure. You have to care about it. You have to pursue. You also have to know where your opponent is. Boxing out is definitely a lost art. A lot of times, even in the NBA, guys don't box out. They just jump and hope they can outleap their opponent. And it's a principle that often is missed at every level of basketball, including the NBA. Long shots, deep shots, as in three-point shots from beyond the arc, they tend to produce long rebounds. It's just physics. So when you are constantly seeing teams shoot threes, very often the rebounds are not just dropping off the rim. They're not rolling off the rim. They're coming in with the speed, and they're coming in at an angle that very often they're bouncing back and turning into long rebounds. Not every time, of course. The spin affects what happens and where the ball hits or how many times it hits the rim. But a lot of times, what you get are long shots and long rebounds. And it seemed like at almost every turn, the Heat were in position to get those rebounds, even when it came to their own missed shots.
We got to get a body on people. So they're shooting long. We're running in, and ball's going over our head. Got to finish our defense. You know, so, and again, it's, you know, long rebounds, running in. You know, we know Butler's going to be aggressive following shots. We got to get a body on him.
It's definitely frustrating when you work an entire possession. You feel as though you forced your opponent into a low percentage shot or just a flat out ill-advised bad shot. But then that team, after you play your arse off on defense, that team ends up with another free possession. Now, I say offensive rebounds are sexy, but they're certainly demoralizing when you're the team that keeps giving them up.
It's killer, you know what I mean? Whenever you get a team gets offensive rebound, it just kind of takes the life off of the team. Kind of seeing that Lowry getting them, Martin getting them, Butler getting them. So just, it was tough me not boxing out and sticking to the game plan for sure.
And then there's Jimmy Butler. Definitely a superstar, but I say an unsung superstone. No. I mean, you know I love Jimmy Butler. That was clearly an accident. A superstar. A superstar would be more like it, Amy Lawrence. I don't know why I'm identifying myself at this particular moment. My apologies, Jimmy. 27 points, 10 assists. And playing off of his teammates. Kyle Lowry talked about it. You just heard Quentin Grimes talk about it too. Butler may not be your typical superstar. Oh, there, I said it correctly. but he's a guy that demands the attention of a defense. And in some cases, they're attempting to put multiple bodies on him.
I actually love being double teamed because then that just means one of my teammates is open. If I don't find them, somebody's going to find them. And I get to see if I can score over a double team.
He is fearless. He will stare down absolutely any challenge. What Butler may lack in size, say, now he's extremely athletic, and I believe he's a five-tool player, but what he lacks in maybe the size of another type of wing player, like, say, I mean, now he often is handling the ball too, because that's what every wing player wants to be as a point guard, but they don't have a ton of size on the roster. For the Miami Heat, it's their tenacity and it's their pushback, right? Like, they're not going to be pushed around. They're determined. And so what Jimmy Butler lacks in maybe the size of, say, Kevin Durant, though he's more of a unicorn, but a lot of wing players, you can get taller and a bigger wing players. But he is relentless, fearless and relentless. And that is an incredible combination with his athleticism and his ability to shoot, the vision, and the defense. It's pretty crazy, but here are the Heat. One win away from a repeat trip to the Eastern Conference Finals. Coming up at the top of the hour here, actually in just a few minutes, we'll welcome a new guest. He's got the Locked On Heat podcast. There's a lot to talk about these days. Wes Goldberg will join us following this game four. And I'm going to ask him what it's like to cover Jimmy Butler. I think that would be really interesting. The job would never be dull. I like it when two guys are on me. I want to see if I can score against the double team. Hoops and hockey. It's that time of the year, early May. Whew. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for, oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.